Channel one right. Channel one over. Channel one over. Channel one over. And Cookies visit this Sunday, the 17th of June, 73, the first of the month. Channel one over. And beginning a visit with Cookies this Sunday morning, the 17th of June, 73, the first one in a month. Channel one over. And beginning a visit with Cookie, Faye part of the time, this Sunday morning, the 17th of June, 73. The first visit in a month. Channel one over, beginning the visit with Cookie this Sunday morning, the 17th of June, 73. And it goes almost all of it. And then there's a short section with Wade. Then it goes Wade Sunday afternoon. Just a little bit of his long visit, but just a little bit, and that's the only copy.
You sure did hit a low point. You
just about struck out, huh?
You just about, yes. Everybody going, and what you got out there?
No further, I traded, sir.
Oh, is that another one?
Yeah.
Well, it don't set straight. Like the other one did.
Well, it sets straight when you got a load on it.
Does it?
Yeah.
That straightens it out.
Yeah.
Out.
Gosh, it's cool in here.
Well, let me tell you, we've had a hard time. The air won't circulate.
Well, it don't circulate no place. I don't know what it is.
I come down this morning about 5 o'clock. The dogs were barking down there, and I couldn't sleep. And I walked through here, and it was hard to believe. Just as musty.
Huh.
Just couldn't breathe. So I brought that thing down. I had it upstairs. And I did all right till I got to the bottom step, and I missed it. And since I had a clock one time, I don't know what it was. But it swelled up and it scared the devil out of doctors. It didn't scare me because I didn't know what it involved.
Yeah.
Now, old John Palmer's had the same thing.
Sure enough.
Oh, he's had it for months. And he was behind the counter and a drawer was sticking out and he just hit his shin on it.
Yeah.
And it kept getting bigger and bigger and his foot kept swelling. And he went for 2 or 3 days without saying anything about it. Why, his foot was getting black.
Gosh.
I told him I'd shut up that damn store and go down there and get off my foot.
Right.
Yes, it didn't have no sense to him. So, that's the news here, Cookie. That is the news.
Well, I've had it rough, guy. Tell you half.
Well, I figured.
I really had it rough.
I figured things couldn't be too easy going over there with all your household. Let's see.
Grandpa and Grandma being there and everything, that it wasn't enough. Dang Frank had to show his tail.
Oh, he been acting up?
Acting up? You don't know the half of it.
Nope.
Yeah. You don't know the half of it. I don't know at all.
I thought you'd gone.
Well, little Bessie wasn't quite ready. So I just thought I'd come up and a minute. Was, do you have some?
Not yet. I was getting ready to get some.
Just sit down there and save yourself. Ah, that's a bad trap, eh?
Step, I'm just going to pick him up by the cuff of the neck and the seat of the britches and toss him out in the yard.
Yeah.
I'm saying I just keep him getting up. That's what's going to have to happen.
I don't know.
I'm not going to tolerate it. He won't listen to me. He won't let liquor and dope alone. And I'm not going to tolerate it. He's on his last leg right now. I put up with it and tried to help him, tried to reason with him. His grandpa talked to him, but he was blue in the face. And he just won't listen. He just will not.
He's wild?
He's just as wild as a buck deer. And he comes in home, he lays down. He won't do one thing. He won't even walk across the room and get his cigarettes. He got to call one of the girls to get him a cigarette. He can't make him a sandwich. He got to call one of the girls from what they're doing to go make him a sandwich. And comes in 2, 3, and 4 o'clock in the morning. And has to go to work at 8, can't get him up, and then he fusses and growls because he's late for work. So I'm going to throw him out and let him get up himself and get out to work the best way he can. But I'm not tolerating that.
And you've been having to put up with that?
I've been putting up with that. I've been getting 2 and 3 hours sleep a night. And lost weight till I weigh 113 pounds one more time. And I'm not going to tolerate it. I'm not going to worry with him. I can't kill myself worrying about him because I've got too much faith in me. And that's just what it's leading to. And
yep.
That ain't the half of it. He come down here and him and his clan had rode my horses up and down the lane over there. If it hadn't rained, I could show you the hoof marks up and down the lane over there at night. And I had to take them out.
Oh, that what happened to the horses?
And I caught him down there with a 13-year-old girl in my trailer, so I had everything cut off. And she's from this neighborhood, too.
Oh, she is.
She sure is. That's right. Absolutely right. He parked his car up on the curb up there at from Pearson's, you know, out. And they walked down there and into the trailer, see, keep anybody from seeing the light come in there. I caught him red-handed. I mean, I just caught him right there.
Just two. But when he's riding the horses, he was there with his buddies.
He was there with his hippie buddies.
Yeah.
Yeah, they rode. They got a little man, by golly, till he rears and jumps. I mean, he's not the same horse. And you know that wasn't becoming to little man.
Mm-mm.
When all them little kids of mine would get out there and ride him, do anything they wanted to with
mm-hmm.
him. I got on him, and I'm telling you, I thought he was going to get me off. I ain't joking you.
It's just like it used to be. He went back wild like he started.
That's right. That's right.
Now, he just the one you didn't want that to happen to.
Well, it's happened. And I ain't nothing I can do about it. I went to the end of my road. He's either going to shape up and do what I say, or he's going to get out.
Well, he wouldn't last 15 minutes if he wasn't at home.
That's just tough. That's tough, because he's going to, it's come to that point.
He got nothing that'll enable him to survive. He can't hold together.
Well, he's got to assume some responsibility sometime, and now's just as good a time as any for him to learn.
He's 18, isn't he?
Be 19 the 21st day of next month. He's cost me $20,000 in the past year. And I can show it to you in black and white, facts and figures. There ain't no question about it. And I'm done. I quit. I'm done. You got Helen, where she don't weigh 200 pounds now.
What's that?
She don't weigh 200 pounds.
We'll keep them a little longer. I'll get her down to 100.
She just about to fall, though. She lost it too fast.
Mm-hmm.
See, she lost 130 pounds.
Why, Cookie?
That's the truth. She weighed 325 pounds. She weighs 195 now.
Well, that is just unbelievable.
And you think it's mostly Frank?
Frank and...
Yeah.
And, well, her mom and dad, now they cut a lot of it off of her, but they ain't cut all that much off. Mm-hmm. But poor old grandpa, though, I'm telling you, he it's something. You just can't imagine, Faye. You just can't. That poor feller has got... Up until 2 years ago, he was a strong man. And he has went down now till he can hardly get from the bedroom into the living room. He can't get up, stand up by himself. He just can't do it. I've got to be there to lift him.
He can't even pull himself up.
No. I've got to be there to lift him. And I lifted. And Grandma, she can't get in the bed by herself. I've got to lift her in the bed.
Now, part of that's arthritis.
Hers. is 100% arthritis. And Grandpa, see, he had his back broke 10 years ago, and he didn't go to the doctor. He didn't go, he just let it heal up itself.
Mm-hmm.
And it healed crooked. And the vertebrae had mashed flat, crushed, and cut the circulation off to his legs. And his legs deteriorated. His legs were very little bigger than my arms.
Hmm.
And he used to be muscled. I mean, he used to be a muscle man. And he just dwindled away. Weighed 152, and he used to weigh over 200.
An all man.
An all man. Every ounce of it was man. And I've been lug and tug him around day and night. Day and night. See, I had to go to the hospital a lot and help with him.
Mm-hmm. You said you did.
Because we couldn't afford a private nurse. $60 a night for 8 hours. That gets rough. Well, I'll survive, maybe. If I can get Frank out of my hair, get him out of my way, get that strain off of me, I'll be all right.
How'd you hold that job, Cookie?
They're just like him. That short, but it's God's truth. They just act like him. I'd be safe and say you can go over any time of the day you want to, and you'll find one mechanic sitting back in the corner asleep someplace.
Just had too much going on
the night before. But see, Frank's been on it now for 3 weeks. He would have caused me losing that load of horses. I didn't lose a load, lost three. Be a month ago tomorrow, I loaded out some wild horses I traded for. And going to Quitman, Georgia with them. I got to put it on 41, just this side of Lake City. And one decided he didn't want to ride any longer, so he decided to jump out. And Frank didn't fasten my tailgate on my trailer. All he had to do was just push hard against it, and that's all my gun come open. And I lost three, had to shoot them right there. Crippled them. And my trailer broke loose. My big trailer.
Mm-hmm. Your big trailer, I noticed you had a different one.
I patched it up and traded for that and then got 6 1/4 difference. But I had to put new running gear and all under. Sure did. New tongue on it. Broke the top loose. That top was just waving in there. Cost me $40 to get a record and set it back on its wheels.
Close the tailgate.
And I asked him, I said, Frank, did you hook that tailgate good? Hell is, I hooked the damn thing. Turned around and walked off. And I was on the highway when I pulled out of the drive, this man's driveway where it loaded him. And he got in his car and just went on. He bought him a Mustang. 2 weeks. 2 days before, 3 days, he bought it on Friday, and I loaded out on Monday, and he already blowed, that's 4 weeks ago, and he's already blowed the motor right now. But that's his worry. He bought it, he's paying for it, he bought his own insurance, he's paying for it. He's gonna fix it, cause I ain't even gonna turn a screw on it.
Is he just driving too fast? The way he blows the motor?
No, spinning off.
Oh.
Drag racing. He gets out here at night and drag races. Just runs a fool out of it. There ain't no automobile in this country had more punishment than that little pickup of mine sitting right out there. None.
But it holds up.
It holds up. I run it. I load it. But I take care of it. Just like your first cars. You all run them every day.
Mm-hmm.
But you take care of them.
Your trailer, when those horses walked out, you stopped and wrecked your trailer.
It come unhooked. The hitch broke off my tongue, broke loose from my pickup, see? See that hitch goes down over that ball?
Yeah.
It busted out.
And it was after that the horses came out.
No, that it happened right at the time. See, they all three of them bunched up right in the back end to get out.
Mm-hmm.
And I was rolling by 60 miles an hour. So imagine what a horse would look like jumping out of a trailer going 60 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
As if you don't have enough already.
That's right. So I just got a chance to trade for this factory built job here. It's the only factory built one I ever owned. It needs a lot of work on it. But I ain't got no money, I got plenty of time.
Like that fella used to have the cows up there. I was up there one day and he was sitting in the shade. He said it cost him too much to work. He'd been working on it, you know, I told you that 7 days time. He was working on his well, and he dropped a pipe down there, or something. He couldn't get it out, so he had to call the well people to come get it out for him. And he said, that's the way it been. It just cost him too much to do business. He'd save money by sitting in the shade.
Well,
many time I thought of that.
See, Frankie, he blew up here. It's been 6 weeks ago. Went to Gainesville and see his girl. Left his little Falcon set right out in the middle of the street in Gainesville. And drove Bob O'Neill's car home. Told me, he said, if you want that thing, go get it out of the street, because it's sitting right in the middle of the street in Gainesville. He said, I mean it. If you want it, go get it. He said, if don't, buy it. Let the city hall know. Well, I just helped him spend $50 for a motor to go in it. I didn't want to lose that. So I just throw my tow bar in my pickup, and I go try to get it. He had lost part of my tow bar. So I got University Inco to go down there and hook onto it and take it up to the station and fix it. Cost me $28 to get it towed in and fixed. I took it back home and cleaned it up a little bit and set it down the road and sold it the next day for $250. And I'd like to kill that boy. But I stuck the $250 in my pocket. I did.
Sure.
Because he gave me the car. He said, go get it, or he said, the city will haul it off. And he goes and pays $400 for a 66 Mustang. And a little over 4 weeks ago, and he's got pretty blown up now. Walking, hitchhiking to work. And I'm going to push him and his Mustang both right out the front gate.
He won't be there long.
Tell you what he done last night. Now this, Helen will tell you this. And back it up. Helen came in from work at 7 o'clock this morning. And Frank had got up and sat down and went in the living room and sat in the chair, overstuffed chair, and wet all over that chair. He sure had. At 7 o'clock this morning. Just out, way out yonder. I mean, he didn't know where he's at or what he's doing. I ain't gonna put up with that.
That's the way the dope does you.
Yeah. I ain't gonna put up with that.
You know, this this is the way the world is now. It's when you've got your wits about you, it's hard enough to survive. And when you have cock, you just lucky. You just playing your chances.
That's right.
And they won't, I don't think they'll hold up long.
Well, I can't help it. I mean, I just went as far as I can go.
Somebody got to pick you up, you know. And I don't know anybody going to pick you up except your own family.
Well, I just ain't going to mess with
it. If you was out, who'd pick you up?
I don't know.
Oh, it's a shame. It's not someplace you could put him for a while.
I just don't know. Well, he's 18 years old. He's out of my jurisdiction
sure
now.
Sure you can. That's right.
He's out of my jurisdiction now. Ain't a thing I can do.
Send him to Texas.
I'm tempted to go myself.
Yeah.
Now, if he'd settled down and been somebody, been something, and helped me just a little bit.
Yeah.
Me and him, and if I'd had someone to have went with me and helped me, I could have left this past Wednesday for Racine, Wisconsin with a load of cows. I picked up a load in Racine and went to Denver, unloaded them. Picked up a load of horses in Denver and took them to Tulsa, Oklahoma. Made a round trip and cleared about $1,000.
With a little help.
Just a little help and cooperation.
Yeah.
But I couldn't run off and leave everybody there. I mean, the way he's carrying on. There's no way. He won't help with Grandpa a bit in the world. He'll stand there and see me and watch me lift my guts out and just stand there and look at me. He weighs 152 pounds and that's dead weight.
You weigh 113.
I weigh 113, and then it's just hard for me to handle him.
A dead weight is something.
But if he can get his arm around my neck, I can put this arm under his back, and this one under his legs, and pick him up and walk him into the living room. 152 pounds.
He don't use a wheelchair.
He can't.
Can't make it.
Well, now we could use one, but he won't let us. But since he had his operation, I think it's gonna help him. I think he's gonna be able to walk with some help.
Well, that would be something.
You know, Cookie, in the old days, a fella really could live around a whole lot, couldn't he? You could get your bashed in and just live around it and keep it going and just never go to the doctor.
That's right. And then when you did get knocked out and down, everybody pitched in and helped. It wasn't just left for one person to do it all. Just like Helen's brother, the one that's a doctor right now.
Mm-hmm.
He never called and asked about his dad. We kept calling and keeping him posted on how he was getting along.
Mm-hmm.
We did that for Grandma,
mm-hmm.
to keep her calm. Last month, the telephone bill was $160. $160. Okay. Called him yesterday evening, and they was leaving last night for Myrtle Beach, South Carolina for a 2-week vacation. And him a doctor, got plenty of money, got plenty. And then us stuck with taking care of the old folks, but I'll take care of them. But I got Scruggs to draw me up some papers, get me some papers fixed, if anything happens, I get what they got.
Mm-hmm.
Bill's not gonna get it. If I got to take care of them and put all the expense like I'm doing now.
Sure.
I wish you had a good, young, honest lawyer that you could check in with. I wish I did too.
I do, that's right.
Yeah, I wish I did.
Just somebody who don't know it all, but who's willing to learn.
That's right.
He'll try to do something for you. You see, with as much transactions as you have, you need somebody to talk to.
See, Medicare won't pay none of their hospital bills until they're down here 6 months.
I didn't know that.
That's right. Blue Cross and Blue Shield paid 80% of his hospital bill. He was there 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And it still cost me $578 to get him out of the hospital Friday. That's right.
He was there 3 weeks?
He was there 3 weeks. I knew it was coming. That's why I went ahead and traded trailers, because I didn't have the money. And I know he didn't. He has spent a heap of money in doctor bills.
And if it got him in time, he might have saved some of them.
That's right. If they would have listened to us a year and a half ago, when we went home and begged them to come back with us,
mm-hmm.
where we could have took care of them, this would have never happened. He had never got this low, no. Dr. Allman said he is in the worst physical condition that he ever saw a man to be still living.
Goodness, cookie.
That's right. He had never been to the doctor. He never knew what a pain was until 2 years ago. Like when he broke his back 10 years ago. He just went to bed and got an easy spot and laid there till it healed up.
Just took care of himself.
That's right.
Well, you know, Mr. Easton, he had another heart attack. He had one back, way back in the 40s.
Yeah.
And it just about ruined him. He came down here. He was still taking medicine for that. Well, that's a long time. And I think the reason he had this one, you see, he's not very strong now, and people give him these jobs he can do a little half-day job.
Yeah.
But when they give him something that works him from first thing in the morning to night, and he got that old way, you see, of taking responsibility. They don't do it anymore.
No.
If the wood don't show up, they pass it on to the other fella.
Yeah.
Well, that pulls him down. And the thing that did this was they was putting in some overhead stuff, you see. And that's hard on you. Keeping your arms up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's hard on a well man.
That's hard on a
young man.
And that's what got him. And it was Saturday evening. He went up to the drugstore on Monday to get some of the medicine like he had used before when he had a heart attack.
Yeah.
And they was out of it, but they said, you come back at 3 o'clock and we'll have it. All that time he's driving himself.
Hmm.
That's 2 days, you see, he went without any attention and still hadn't seen a doctor. And he was up here. I got him to put a little something on that pump down there. and he not got much strength. He sat there and you could hardly even talk. And you know, he got a pretty strong voice when he's...
Yeah. Yeah, then Frank and him messing up didn't help matter. I mean, that wasn't bad enough. Friday evening, Mama called and said, first cousin had died in North Carolina. First thing she said, how are you getting along? I said, I'm getting all right. I asked her, and then I said, well, what was the matter with Paul? She said, the same thing is the matter with you.
Too much on him?
Lung disease. And then yesterday she called again. I don't know whether she called yesterday or not, but she probably will. They've been wanting me to come home for 6 weeks. And I just can't get up there. I just can't leave.
Mm-hmm.
Got to take Helen to work tonight. Got to pick her up in the morning.
No, I don't see how you can, Cookie. This is the emergency there, too.
And, of course, I got a little relief now. Helen, there's a colored lady there in Hawthorne. She went to work on the same shift, and Helen can ride Wednesday. No. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights with her. That's 3 nights a week that I don't have to worry about taking Helen to work. I got Tuesday and Wednesday night. And the rest of the time, I mean, she can ride that car there. And it's better for her to pay her $1 a day to ride with her than it is for me to spend $1.50 a day for gasoline taking her to work.
Yeah.
Sure.
And that's just what it amounts to.
What are we going to do when they tighten up on the gas, Cookie? It just takes gas to get it. We go so far in town.
I'm going down.
My tank won't hold enough to do me a week. Just going to town.
Ride a horse.
Ride a horse. Well, if it's the back way.
Right. Ride in, Charlie. I bought Charlie back.
What is it?
You know that last Pinto that I brought down here from West Virginia?
The black.
No, the brown and white. I brought him from West Virginia. The black and white I brought in Georgia.
Who is he?
I don't know what his name was. He was a buffing son of a gun.
Oh, Charlie, yeah. Charlie was the one that stood like a workhorse.
That's right.
He's pretty horse. He just didn't have Rowdy's stance.
I took, sold him in Tampa.
All right. I gotta go down here and see about this.
I sold him in Tampa and bought him back in up at Orange Heights.
Yeah.
He'd whipped him out. They couldn't do nothing with him. I walked up to him. They couldn't even catch him in the field, guy. They couldn't even catch that horse. I walked up to him. First of all, when I got up to the fence, I asked him what they wanted for him. Well, they told me, they said, if you can catch him, you can have him for 100 and a half. I said, no, I won't give it. I said, is he hard to catch? And they said, yes, sir, we can't catch him. We're going to get somebody to rope him. I said, I don't think that's necessary. I said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll just give you 100 and a quarter and go catch him. Old Joe said, all right, you catch him, you can have him for 100 and a quarter. I said, well, I want to pay you first. I gave him $125 and walked out the fence. I said, come here, Charlie. Hold his head up. I said, come on up here. Started walking off, and he walked a little piece. Stopped and started leading again. I said, come on up here. He walked on a little piece further. I said, well, it looks like I'm going to have to go get him. Are you better not go in there? He'll run you out. I said, no, he won't. They didn't have no halter or nothing on him. I went in, walked over and out in the field where he's at, took my belt off, put it around his neck, clung on him, and rode him right on him. Just walked up to him. That old boy said, you must be acquainted with horses. I said, well, I'll tell you, I haul this horse from West Virginia down here. I ought to know what kind of a horse he is.
You could have bought him for your own figure, could you?
Yeah. I could have bought him for $100. He put on 150 pounds of weight. I turned him out down here in the field a while ago.
Has the grass started coming in down there?
Oh my gosh, it's way up
that high. Well, they won't eat that. They'll go over and eat sand.
No, what I figure on doing, guy, is I want to play with him a little bit. I got to get away from up the house and get Grandpa to where he can get up and down himself. Why, Grandma, she's to where she can get up and down herself now.
Yeah.
And she can walk from the living room to the bedroom and on into the kitchen, and she can even go out on the front porch by herself.
Yeah.
All right, when I get Grandpa to where he can do that, I'm gonna spend a lot of time there.
You're gonna be checking in again one of these days.
I'll be checking in tomorrow. Mm-hmm. In fact, as a matter, I'll be checking in every day. But I won't be checking in at the same time every day.
Take a lot of gas.
I got to prove one point, though. I got to prove to them that I'm not going to be run over. Then, guy, I've got to get away from some of that. I've been under strain for a year.
You've had it pretty steady.
I've been under that strain for a year. I've got to get out from under it.
Yeah. got to get out and mess with these horses a little bit, or else...
Sell them.
Yeah.
I got a mold machine out here. I want to hear that thing clatter.
Yes.
I want to hear that thing clatter. And I may just hook them up and cut that off down there. After it gets ripe, you know. And then take a disc. I've got me a horse-drawn disc now. Mash it in. With them horses.
Yeah.
Let them do it.
Let them do it.
Save gas on them tractors.
That's right. Well, I'll tell you, they take it.
Well, I'm telling you the truth. They sure do.
Why do they take it?
And if we can get that mower machine going out there and the pair of horses I got, we can save that gas and cutting all this stuff down around here. If I can get them worked down, I can take that old big plow out there and plow just about as much in a day with them horses as you can with that little Ford tractor.
Yeah, too much doing.
Not but very little. And there ain't nothing I'd enjoy doing more. I'm not joking you.
You haven't actually had a shot at it since you've been out here.
I don't know what it is, guy. I just don't know what it is.
Now, all the time you've been out here, you haven't hardly had a half a day just to get out there and fiddle.
No, sir. It's gone a rush. Come in, jump in, and jump back out, and go.
Yeah. I tell you, I got enough of that. And this nigger John Turner, he come over here last year. See, got on to him down there. He was selling pears down at the meat market, Bill's.
Yeah.
After that, he came up here once a week, and brought pears and vegetables and things like that. Well, this year he started lying. I told him he could have that field up there, put peanuts, whatever he wanted to in it. And he apparently couldn't get in his head that I just don't give it to him.
Yeah.
And all I figured was when he come over here, he'd bring some vegetables. Well, he come over here, finally come over and plowed a little, and I finished it. And he done the messiest job of plowing you ever saw. I'm telling you, he didn't turn it. He got it so deep, you see, it wouldn't turn over.
Just propped up. Yeah.
Just as shabby as it could be. And I got after him. I actually got after him. I don't do that much, you see. And furthermore, I went ahead and planted some of it. And he come over here, he's holding his head. And first thing he did, started telling me he'd come in, and when he said he'd come, he'd come. Well, I said, that's a goddamn lie, John Turner. You've told me 6 times you was coming over here, and you just not getting here. And I didn't even know you was coming. I wouldn't put up with that anymore. That's pretty shabby, you know. If you don't know whether you can come or not, say so. And I'm telling you, he tucked his tail and run. And I don't know whether I'm going to let him get back in there or not.
Plowing that deep, just propping up like that?
Yeah, he put in a few peanuts up there. He brought three bags, 5-pound bags, enough to plant the whole hill up there. And the peanuts come right up, cookie.
Yeah.
God almighty, they come back the next day. They are high, they are that high now and bushing out.
Yeah.
Yes. But
are you gonna try to cut any hay?
No. I I got enough cows to keep it cut on.
Then you gonna plant any rye for fall, winter grazing?
Well, you have to do that.
Yeah. Well,
put it somewhere where you haven't had it, and it does make that. Now, over here where the oats were,
yeah,
that stuff is coming out, a little bit of tufts of it, you see, and it must be juicy. Because they look over there, and they can't harvest the resistant. They do like that tender stuff, don't
yes,
they?
Yes, Martha. Yeah. Well, I've been thinking an awful lot. Down here in below the barn, the corral down there, Pappy's holding pen. You know that's getting pretty tussock down there.
Oh, it is.
You know it might. What would you think about this fall cutting that up and putting putting that in rye? Just rye. Don't put no oats with it. Just put rye.
You didn't get in on the oats at the end of the season.
No.
My God Almighty, I don't know what the date was, but for 2 months over there, that oats growed so fast the cows couldn't keep it down.
Well, maybe we better put oats, just strictly oats.
There's more oats there than we ever had of rye.
Yeah.
And you know, we had rye that time. You remember?
Yeah.
Starting out over there? And we had it the rest of the season over there.
Sure, yeah.
Right over there. That was good as we ever had.
Then
I kept that line down the middle, don't you remember that?
Yeah, and then you put a cross fence across it once in a while.
Yeah. And left them in there a couple hours, and they was ready to go.
Yeah.
Just half of that. See? Well, that was right. But this over here was the same way. And you know what we did? I had the only help I got from these chaps who've been hanging around here. They were some of them getting so tough, you see, they wouldn't need it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to mow it. So we went over there and just held them in there.
Made them stay there and eat.
Yeah, you were down there at the trailer there one time. I remember we was out there. And
yeah.
I was hollering and cussing. And made them eat off. But the thing of it is, now over on this side, it got the growth first. But then the whole damn place got growth.
It come on.
Oh, just season of the year when you need it.
Yeah.
After they get calves. And
well, how's your calves doing?
Well, the cows look so much healthier than the calves.
Well, you know, I noticed that, and 90% of the cattle that I saw this year, all calves is kind of scrawny looking. They don't have a shiny coat like they did.
And they're sort of V-shaped.
Right.
Narrow in front. No, I thought these calves were pretty good. I'd look at them. And then I took them through, I drenched them, and made steers of the little bulls finally a week ago. And when I was handling them there, you see them a little better when you have them, can't you?
Yeah.
They don't have that much growth.
How many steers have you got?
They're just about half and half. I made steers of all of them. You didn't hear what happened to Debbie.
No.
I was, you see, Miss Dodd handles cows pretty well.
Yeah.
And she got a pretty place over there. She'd been one of my standby just up in time for the hunting season. Well, he got the notion of going up there and talking to her. Well, about that time, Debbie came out here. I didn't want to sit around here and watch the way I handle the goddamn animals. That's nothing.
Yeah.
See me handle them. I said, why don't you go over there and see Shirley handle them? Well, what in the hell is she doing? She sicked that bald night boy on Debbie. But he's dim-witted.
Yeah.
He's a screwball. And Debbie's one of the outstanding people of God Almighty. Just on the face of it.
Yeah.
And then I wore out from I've been doing all this desk work. I didn't have any sense of humor. You see, I could go along with it a little while, but it kind of got Debbie because she'd never been off the concrete. She didn't know anything about the country people, countryside. She didn't know anything about it. You see, she perfect, just completely. The mushy. And what they do, stick that damn that fool boy on it. He's 35 years old. And that went on for weeks and weeks and weeks. And she'd go, Miss Mary is there ever so often. And the boy got so he'd go over there. So she had to quit that. Well, they took it as a big lark. They'd get together and just slap the lay aside, you know, God, look at this virgin, what he been doing. Look at him. He just screwball, you see. He'd go along there, Miss Mary would go like him. Come over there day and night, sit around. She went in there one time out of a downpour of rain with his raincoat on, and his raincoat was dripping all over the house, and there he was walking up and down the hall. I think she likes me. I think she likes me. they were having a picnic, you see.
Yeah.
I knew what was going on over there, but you see, I couldn't play along with them, partly because I just, you talk about being, you see, work down. You don't have much sense of humor, do you?
That's right.
Well, I stand there that darn fool typewriter until I haven't got good sense.
Yeah.
I just hate to get out of the house sometimes, afraid I'd knock myself out. Well, and then Debbie, she's so nice, and they do something like that.
Yeah.
The first damn thing. Why don't they wait a while and let her get used to it?
Yeah.
It was screwball.
Where's Debbie now?
Oh, she doesn't stay out here much. She comes out here during the week. We work a little bit. She goes in town.
Yeah.
Goes off and visits with friends. One place or another.
Or does she go back to Shirley's?
Oh, no. She can't go over there. Shirley sick that damn fool Virgil on her. Now, you see this pranking, you know.
Yeah.
Everybody likes a good prank.
Once in a while.
But they don't want to keep it up for 6 months.
That's right. Well, what about Rick now? Is he still around?
He's doing about the same thing. He's around, works over there on the weekend.
Yeah.
I don't know. He seems to like to. He ain't making it. Well, I had thought, you see, I'd have something going, but now I'm draining a little money out of here. But everything seems to slow me up.
Well, you take me, guy. You look back since I've been coming out here. Just about the time I get set on my feet, get straightened up where I can do something, I get wiped off.
Yeah.
Just like when I took sick with this last thing here, I was getting in pretty good shape.
But it ain't been like this. What you going through right
now? Nothing. There has been nothing to compare with it, guy. Nothing. See, every month I got to pay $226 to Adams Insurance Company for 10 years. And Frank wrecked my truck.
I thought you'd get a huge squeeze out of that.
I haven't squeezed out yet. Old Scruggs is working on it, but he ain't squeezed me out yet. I squeezed out of one because we proved that she was in the wrong. The 69 Ford station wagon. You see, he hit two cars. He hit a car and a truck. Well, I got out of that one. But the main vehicle, I ain't got out of that yet. No, sir.
He just got you at one of the lowest moments.
That's right.
You just barely got out of there. I let that down keep all that light. The light blinds me.
Yeah. I was looking at that flue there. We might have some, not changing the subject, but we might have some good biscuits one day. How'd you like some good homemade biscuits with some wood ashes dropping down the oven on top of them biscuits? You have to brush it off to eat it. Now how about that?
Blow it off.
I found me a wood cook stove.
Did you?
Yes, sir. A wood cook stove.
Have you got room for it?
I'm going to make room for it.
You have to put it off where it won't heat up the house.
I don't care if it does heat up the house.
In the winter time, it'd be nice.
In the winter time, it would be the berries.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
You know, Mr. Weaver got that little wood heater.
Yeah.
And he says that cooks as good as any cook stove he ever saw. Yeah. It holds heat. It's 30 years old or so. He got that when his brother bought that store across the street there. The
yeah.
Maze store. And it was in there.
Well, I was looking up there. I know where there's another one. And if I can buy it, why, I'll bring it down with me. It won't take up any more room much than that one right there.
Yeah.
Be close to windows there, and you could take an exhaust fan and put there and pull the heat out rather than getting all through the house. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you could build your fire in it and cook you some biscuits and some beans. You take them old brown beans cooked in a steel pot on top of a wood stove, there ain't nothing no better. Only more of them.
Well, you know, those old stoves and also the griddles, Cookie, that I recollect, they all had that hood.
Got a hood up over them, yeah. Now this, the one that I bought, it's got at the back of it, it's got a warming closet up to the top, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I brought up with that.
Well, I got one just like
that. We stick those sweet potatoes back in there and the cornbread.
That's right. And close the door up there and then stay warm.
Yeah.
I got one.
Yes.
Well, I'm going to have to go. It's 1:30.
That hood, now, that was primarily to take the grease fumes out.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Cooking fumes.
Right.
but it also took some of the heat out.
Yeah.
But that wasn't what it was meant for.
Now, I don't know what it was meant for, but it sure looks good.
Now, what did you use up there, Johnson, when you were doing the short orders?
We used gas.
What did you use?
We had a hood up over top.
Yes.
With a fan in it that pulled it out.
Oh. Well, that was already an improved system, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't too much different from what they've got today.
Yeah. Except it's homemade.
Yeah. Well, I got to go. It'll be time to walk the old man a little bit when I get back. Not till I get him where he can get up and down himself. When he gets to where he can get up and down himself, where I'll be able to stay away quite a bit then.
Bessie had been pretty sick for a month, and they brought her home. She's up at that rest home and starving. Couldn't eat what they put on the plate.
Yeah.
And she has these spells, and somebody got to be with him. And yeah, I kind of hate this neighborhood just gone down. It's nothing like it used to be. You see, passed by there. Used to be just a very short time ago. You see, Miss Liza was down there.
Yeah.
Walking around, you could hear her all over the place. Miss Bessie out there, and you see, the ones I didn't realize at the time, but it's just like a country store. It was a kind of a center. People pass and wave or stop,
yeah,
talk, and you see that way you kept in touch. Well, now look what's happened. This young nigga, CS, he ain't as young. Some of them, he's not so far young, but anyhow, he living down there at Miss Liza's house. Nobody ever sees him.
Yeah.
He don't come, they don't go. And now that's what you get into,
yeah.
You see.
Well, probably if Grandpa gets along before he can get out, move around a little bit, and about a couple of weeks, we may have a kind of picnic and dinner out under the big old tree at the house.
Yeah.
And
I tried to think of somebody who could sort of stay down there, but you see, I'm out of touch so much. I don't know anybody, and I've been tied down here. I thought there for a while you might get Rick to go around there and sort of hold it down for you.
Well, I'm going over to talk to Rick now, see if he won't kind of check in there periodically, and but not at the same time every day or every evening. Kind of switch his time just a little bit.
Is there...
See, that old nigger down there, he been gone.
Well, has he?
Oh, yeah. He just got back a couple of 3 days ago.
And he's a pretty good influence when he's there.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He didn't let nobody mess around when he... I mean, if somebody went up there that was strange, he went up and seen who it was.
Yeah.
Yes, my fella.
Yeah, well, you did good turns. He needed some of that water.
That's right. Well, I'm gonna get it put back... back on tomorrow, and We have to set a new pole. That pole down there rotted off.
Oh, has it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Lean over against the trailer.
Well, I'll be down.
Yeah.
Well, this old pole right here rotted off. But it had been there a long time,
yeah.
See.
Well, see, that one that I put in was a used pole to start with.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Well, this is a used pole.
I'm going to put a new one in there tomorrow and get them back up and hook that up. Then, I'm going to give Rick the key to it.
Well, let me tell you what you do. Rick's not there. He's over there. I think he's over there at the...
Station?
Station.
I've got to go get a tire fixed anyway.
You go over there with him and see if you can rig up a little place for him to sleep down there.
Too tall.
He
can live right down there. I've got a good bed in there.
Yes.
I mean, one of the best.
That's right. And he could hold it down for you.
Yeah.
And, I keep thinking somebody's going to come in there and take the damn pump off.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Or just take the whole goddamn thing off.
Just take it all. Well,
if it wasn't behind all them bushes back there, when anybody could see it much, then you had a light on there a good long while.
Yeah. But when Frank, see, I had that light hooked up permanent. You couldn't cut it off. Frank, he come in there and goofed up. One of these Graham girls out here making that, making Opie.
Yeah.
He was up and down there with. She's only 13 years old.
Yeah. That's some family. Mama before. Rick might know somebody, you see. Or we might hook up somebody. It's a whole lot better to have somebody there, and when you come in there, you see, you wouldn't bother them, they wouldn't bother you.
That's right, yeah.
Just a single fella.
Yeah.
That fella, Robert Leonard, he got on my nerves. I don't love for people to go around not talking.
I don't either.
It just give me the willies, just to. And he was partly screwball. Now, I don't mind being a little screwball, but he's a little bit too much for my taste. And well, there's a lot of nice things about him, but when you can't find out what a fellow's going to do, what are you going to be plagued with him for?
I don't want to be bothered with him, no. Well, gosh, I got to go. He's supposed to walk again about 2:30. By the time I get that car fixed and get up there, it's going to be 2:30, 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
And I'm going to try to get him back on his feet if I can. But I'll check in with you tomorrow.
Well, you got to stay on your feet, too.
Oh, yeah. I'll check with you tomorrow and see what's going on. See, Helen be there to have him tomorrow, and I can be gone be for the day.
Yeah.
Now, I'll be in tomorrow, and we'll kick the bull around and see which he comes out first.
Well, I tell you what, you just take him down there and see it, and take a look at it and see what you can work out.
All right. I'll take him down there. He can't get away today, but probably tomorrow I can get him down there.
He goes into town and takes a bath or whatever he does and knocks around and generally gets out here, back out here, you know, sometime on Monday.
Yeah. Well, if I see him today, maybe he can make it a point to come back out tomorrow a little early. Well, I'll see you in the morning, guys.
All right, Bill. Take care of yourself.
All right, you be careful, too.
Yeah. I'm really sorry that I have to air condition my place. this has to be air conditioned for the photographic work.
Got to keep it down to 70 or 80.
Well, yeah, you 90. Have to keep it under 75. And I've been there when it's 85 inside. I mean, it'd be 95 outside. It'd be a little over 80 inside, and it's cool.
Yeah.
And if you just stirred a little air, it'd be fine.
Yeah.
But the humidity and those extra degrees of heat ruins your whole process. And it's have to just well air condition the whole thing. It's two or three rooms.
Or is that right?
Yeah, it's easier. They're the middle rooms, and there's no way to bring the heat and the cool in and out unless you do it through a central system.
Yeah.
And I'm buttoning it up pretty tight, so it's not going to be that expensive to run it. I'm putting drop ceilings in and sealing it up.
Oh really?
Just about finished.
Well, you've been on the workforce for a while.
Just finished putting my shower floor in. That shower is the damnedest thing I ever ran into in my life. One of those things of committing yourself to something. And before you really know what it is, you've gotten a liability going. Oh, I just had some cheese and sardines myself.
You already had some.
All right, exactly what I had, sardines and cheese.
Well,
you sure have a bath, some more cheese.
Yeah, I had this little room, and it was a closet-type room. It had plumbing, a drain, electricity in it, and I said, well, that's a perfect place for a shower. And I can build one a little bit bigger than these little tin cans you buy at Sears to shower in. And I said, that won't be hard. I said, maybe it'll cost me $80. I think I'm up probably $300 on it. And I'd hate to even mention how many hours I put into the damn thing.
Yeah.
It just kept climbing. Every time I turned around, there was another $10 on it.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Well, that's my trouble. I'm doing business.
Yeah, it just kept going. Everything else been pretty modest. I mean, it's turned out all right. The shower got out of hand.
Were you in on that wedding?
Oh, yes. I was just telling Faye about it. That's the finest social function I've ever been to in my life. That was marvelous.
You never expected that would happen.
No. I would attend one of those every two or three months if they could get that group, a group like that together again. It was a feast. You could do anything you wanted to. Speak to anybody you took a notion to speak to.
They'd be back.
All the way up and down the line. Everybody was there. Buster and Jack and Sugar Man. Buster's wife, Bertie, was there. And then we had several of the local contingents of the...
Well, I don't know that I'd associate Bertie with Buster.
It's a strange combination.
Yeah.
But she stood guard on him all the way to the end, and we carted him off. Jack and Sugar Man and I trucked him down the street. And I left him in front of the antique store. They said they got him all the way upstairs, and he said he fell in the bathtub and couldn't get out. But at least Bertie wasn't hitting him with a curtain rod when he walked upstairs. But she was with him all the time. I was telling Faye, I'm walking down the outside, and I passed this group of men leaning up against one of the old junk cars, and somebody says, well, you lead off. He says, no, you do it. And I kept walking by, and I heard him say, he says, well, do you want to start in Old English or Middle English? Group out there quoting poetry in Old or Middle English, and then Buster telling dirty jokes in 10 feet of each other.
One said you got a bunch of hippies together and it's just pretty dull. You got a bunch of
yeah
bigwigs together and it's pretty dull, but when you mix them up, it's right good.
Yeah, you get that kind of thing. That's all right. Regan, that's Uncle Regan. That's his name. Cousin Bertha, or was it?
Aunt Gertrude.
Aunt Gertrude and Uncle Regan. Regan is extremely high-class buster. Absolutely. He came drunk as Lord. With his umbrella.
He's the head of a boys' school.
Head of a boys' school. he'd run right up, bump in. My name's Regan. Just immediately, whenever he touched him, just saw anybody. My name's Regan, and he started out with that tone, and he carried it through, and he wound up dancing with everybody, and just putting on a show. Wouldn't quit.
Dutch Green.
No, it was inside the store there.
They had a party.
Well, that was a party.
That was a party.
That was a reception, the way you thought it.
Yeah, reception.
In the store?
In the store. And by God, if they didn't get a silver tray and silver candelabra, a silver goblet. it had to come about. I mean, it was a vestigial of the formal wedding. You had to have that. I just almost died when I saw that turn up in the store over there.
Now, what do you call the store?
I still refer to it as a store, even though they live there. They have put a closed for business sign outside.
Oh, in the apartment?
Yeah, it's where the blue part of the building.
Well, yeah, that's good enough, this store.
Yeah. Yeah, Ted's a peculiar individual.
You mean you actually know him?
Oh, yeah, Ted's the guy that got married, Ted and Bridget. He lives in the store.
I understand.
And, he's right in between. He's the fulcrum of that whole group of people. He's right square in the middle of everything. He can pull from one side or the other.
Is that right? You mean he can... He can perform a bust or two?
He attempts to do. I mean, he'll get in there, and he's not too. One of his faults is he's not sensitive at all. But on these occasions, it's an attribute. People accept it.
Oh yes. Yeah.
He blunders right in with the rest of them, man.
Yeah.
And he does it all up and down the scale, and people buy it.
No
sensitivity. None whatsoever.
I was giving Debbie a little lecture yesterday before she went in and went into town. Oh, we were talking. I said, now, you're not intellectual. You run into these intellectual people, they can just slice you up before you know it. They can lacerate you with one little statement, see? And put you in your place. So you'll never survive. But I said there's a very simple protection against all that. Whatever they say, just don't hear it. Or if you hear it, misunderstand it. Just never let on that you know what the hell they're talking about.
Norman Jensen's really good about that. If somebody's getting on to him with that intellectual business, he'll say, "Now, just a minute, I didn't quite understand what you said."
Yeah.
And then if you repeat it, it's still confusing, he'll say, "Do you mean that this?" And he'll get it all mixed up.
Yeah.
And before it's all through with, I mean, he's wiped it off the slate.
It goes off easy.
He just plays ignorant as hell by the whole thing. He just, forget it, Norman. It's all right.
I don't believe anybody ever told me those things, and I never was sharp enough to understand that.
That's awful handy knowledge. It's just like that one piece of information you gave me back when I was in school about doing research. I told you about that, didn't I? You probably forgot in class one time. You said if somebody questioned you when you're out in the woods, what you're doing, tell them doing research. And then I went to A&P to cash a check. And it was when I was on relief, $26 unemployment, and I wasn't in school. And they said, "Where's your ID card, student card?" I said, "Well, I'm not in school." And they said, "Well, But I had an ID card. I said, well, I'm, I said, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm doing research. And they said, oh, fine. They didn't even ask for a driver's license, nothing else. They cashed the check, and I couldn't wait till I got outside and started laughing. They did, I don't think they would accept it without even signing the damn thing. It just went so slick, I couldn't believe it.
You know, that wasn't my part of it. It wasn't my discovery. I told you that.
It didn't make any difference to me.
Well, that's old Jack Long. He built him a house out there in the country. A lot of nice country people around there. And they'd ask him, what are you doing? He said that he couldn't stay any longer. He had to go and do a little research. And he found that would just take him anywhere he wanted to go.
That's like preachers all the time talking about you got to go pray over the matter.
I guess.
That opens up the world if you even pray about it.
Well, now, you had the ceremony?
Yeah, Taylor Scott put it on.
Could you hear it?
A good majority of it. It was a little bit long. He read a service. It was right nice. It was a little bit long for the particular occasion.
Oh, was it? 5 minutes?
I can't say how long it was. But the spirit's up. You need quick, fast, pointed words. It got a little bit flowery there at the end. It was a little booklet he had. He read.
Okay.
It's right, pleasant thing. You know, it's one of the updated marriage ceremony type things.
Oh, is it?
Takes everything, modifies it, and just a rational approach to marriage.
Yeah.
And very little of the old term devotion or God demanding that this be that and you have that obligation is turned around, put it more in intrinsic value.
Oh, yeah.
Taylor's a real funny guy. I've mentioned him to you before. And I'm sorry he didn't hang around. He got a little bit nervous and left. Met his wife. Real pretty wife. She's standing at the door, and he introduced her or something like that and turned around and started talking to somebody else. And she says, I don't know what anybody wants to get married for. He's there doing the ceremony.
Taylor who?
Taylor Scott's wife. He's in the religion department over at school.
Oh, is he? Well, he's... I haven't kept up.
Yeah, he's still a priest, Episcopal priest, but has done a lot of falling out with a formalized religion, and does a good job teaching.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a lot of confidence yet in himself because he's trying to teach too hard, and his students don't understand what he's doing. He's not giving them standard fare, and,
yeah.
And you might well know you don't get too much accolades out of that.
Yeah. You know.
He's vibrant and interested, so that's a good man to have.
And on this outside, he is?
I don't know him too much on the outside, just briefly.
Yeah.
And he's making an attempt to be more vibrant and alive. Does tend to look at the ground too much.
Well,
when he walks around. He's got a lot of studying on the ground.
That's a trouble. Well, I've got two or three little things in shape for to read since I saw you.
Oh, good.
And one of them is on Emerson. I don't know how it'll sound to you. It's very hard for me to write about Emerson. You see, I just talk to people about it.
They mentioned that outside, that you were doing that. And I'm almost sorry it's a necessity for you to do it, too.
Yeah. No. Nothing good will come from that.
You see, I'm about fifth hand down from you on it. And first thing I say, that I don't know a damn thing about Emerson, but it's in the back of my head.
Yeah.
And I don't. I don't know the first thing.
That's been my trouble. I've never known anything about him, Steve. I couldn't even lecture on him, sir.
Couldn't give a 10-minute talk.
All I can do is wrangle.
Academic. Guy, I wish you were a movie goer. I found a movie. You'd have to be a sort of appreciator of music, of black music, rhythm and blues and soul and church music, and called Wattstack. I watched Stack or something like that. It's a sort of a documentary on the 7th anniversary of the Watts Riot. And the guys did it's a good show. They did a good job putting it together.
Well, let me tell you, I made it a point to take in a movie or a play about every term here up into the last year. So I always did it with some of those flatheads up there on the campus, and they gave me something to talk about.
Well, this
but I'm behind.
This thing has got some of the best interviews that I've ever seen in a movie. They've got these spades set up in about three different situations. Like there's a group of guys sitting in a room that's sort of with concrete block walls painted. You just barely see, but you have no idea where they are. It could be a back alley, but it's a little too clean for that. And they've got a fella that's getting his hair done, an afro. And let's see, what is that? And there's some girl that's all decked out